Well, I'd like to draw your attention this evening to what Jesus says at the beginning of verse 2. That little phrase, Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. That little short phrase there. Wake up! This is what Jesus is saying to this church. Wake up! Now, this was a church which Jesus says to it had a reputation of being alive. He says, middle of verse 1, he says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive. People said about this church, ah, yes, the believers in that church, they're alive. They're keen Christians. He says, you have a reputation of being alive. You're thought of by others as being alive. But in fact, he says, you are dead. He uses the word dead to describe them. There's no real spiritual life. Now, he does actually then say in the second verse, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. So clearly he's not saying that they are not born again, that they're not saved, because he wouldn't then say, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. Clearly these are believers, they are regenerate, they do have the life of the Spirit in them, but the life of the Spirit has become very weak. It's almost as if they are on a sort of life support machine. You can just about see the flicker of the heartbeat, but there's very little life there. The chest is just about going up and down. They're just about breathing. Maybe there's the odd flicker of the eyelid from time to time, but they're in a deep sleep. There's very little responsiveness to God. And so Jesus says, wake up to these believers in this town of Sardis. Now, the call to wake up is, in fact, a call, and similar ideas is found in lots of places in the Bible. Clearly, this is a problem which is anticipated that believers are going to suffer from. We had an example in the Old Testament in our reading just a moment ago in Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, O Zion! Zion has fallen asleep. The believers there have fallen asleep. And God says to them, wake up! A number of places in the New Testament as well, we find this call to wake up or similar ideas. Let me just point you to a few of these. Romans chapter 13 on page 1127. Verse 11. This is in the context of believers loving each other and loving and being good citizens in the world as well. And he says, Paul says to the believers there, verse 11 of Romans 13, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. So there is this call there in Romans to the believers to wake up spiritually. And in that context, he's saying about them not getting involved in works of darkness, not living lives of sin. Now then, another example is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32. Verse 34. The context, this is on page 1142 if you want to follow. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. The context here is that the believers in Corinth have started to believe false doctrines, started to think that there is going to be no future resurrection for believers, that this life is all there is. And Paul suspects that in fact they've got into bad company. They have started to believe sinful ideas from their non-Christian friends. And he says, verse 34, "Wake up from your drunken stupor," as is right, "and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame." So there is this call there to the believers in Corinth to wake up from, they're in a sort of drunken stupor, they, spiritually speaking, they are not with it, they don't know what's going on, and Paul says to wake up. Another example, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 4. Context here is Paul talking about the second coming, and it's page 1174 if you want to follow. Paul is talking about the second coming. And he is saying to the believers he's saying to the people he's writing to that the unbelievers, they're going to be caught like a thief in the night. They are unaware of what's going on. But he says, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4, "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the darkness or of the night or the darkness." Then he says, verse 6, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." So he's saying, let us not sleep, but let us keep awake and be sober. Now, there's other examples I could give you, but I think that's enough to make the point that there is this call in Scripture for us who are believers to be awake spiritually, not to be asleep spiritually. Now, as we think about this evening, I want to ask you a simple question for you to think about in your own life, for you to examine yourself before the Lord. And that is the question this. The question is this. Are you, am I, asleep spiritually? Or are you awake? That's the question. Are you asleep or are you awake? Are you like those Christians in Sardis? Maybe you've got a reputation for being alive, but actually you're dead. You're asleep. There's not much going on in reality in your life spiritually. That's a question. That's a challenge for for us this evening. And as we think about that, I want to just think about a few signs which would be indicators of being spiritually asleep, so that we can examine ourselves and think, am I alive or am I awake or am I asleep spiritually? And then I would like to point out, or like to mention some things that we can do if we feel that we are asleep, or at least not as awake as we should be, spiritually speaking. So let me give us some signs of being spiritually asleep. And I suppose the first thing to say would be prayerlessness. A lack of really serious private prayer. Maybe there might be the odd moment of snatched prayer here or there, but there's very, very little. If someone is asleep spiritually, there'll be very little serious private prayer going on. What little prayer there might be, often accompanied by daydreaming, and a very lackadaisical, perhaps lacking in faith as well. So prayerlessness would be one sign of being spiritually asleep. Another sign of being spiritually asleep would be not feeding yourself with the Word of God. You might still have a brief prayer, brief personal time of Bible reading, might just quickly skim over a few verses, but there's no real spiritual feeding and nourishment upon the Word of God. Another sign of being spiritually asleep would be a lack of personal praise to the Lord. When someone is spiritually asleep, he or she has lost awareness of God's goodness. And so his or her life becomes not accompanied by praise. There is a stillness, a dullness when it comes to his or her devotional life to God. There's very little thanksgiving to God. Another sign of being spiritually asleep is where there is very little real engagement with the corporate worship of God. Maybe the hymns might be outwardly mouthed and outwardly sung, but the heart is far away. Remember those words of Jesus, or in fact, quote Jesus quoted there from Isaiah, these people worship me in their, with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Another sign of spiritual sleepiness is where the service of God, such service of God that is done with a heavy heart and a heavy soul. Maybe the believer might be engaged in evangelism of in some way, or maybe some sort of practical service, but as those tasks are done, it is done with resentment, feeling sorry for oneself, feeling as if one is working hard, and perhaps feeling resentment towards other Christians who one feels are not pulling their weight. one thinks of the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. You remember how the younger brother went off and sold his inheritance and wasted all the money, and then he came home and the father was delighted, but the older brother was not happy at all. And the father went out to remonstrate with him, and Luke 15:29, the older brother says to his father, "Look, all these years, these many years, I have served you and have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends." You can hear the resentment in those words. I've worked really hard for you, but what have you done for me? Serving God, maybe outwardly, but with resentment. And then another sign, perhaps, of spiritual sleepiness is where there is love for this world. When love for God grows weak, then love for the things of this world grows stronger. And so the person who is spiritually asleep finds himself attracted to the things of this world, maybe whether it be sport, whether it be possessions, whether it be his home, whether it be holidays, whatever it is, but he finds himself loving the things of this world rather than loving God. And then another sign of being spiritually asleep is irritability with the failings of others. The person who's spiritually asleep is not going to be aware very much of the grace that God has shown him, and so he is going to not be very patient and forbearing with the failings of others. As he becomes aware of the failings of others, he's likely to have a short fuse, likely to snap and to be unkind and unpleasant to the person, who the other fellow believer whom he perceives to be not doing very well in his service of God. Another sign of being spiritually asleep is a lack of concern for the lost. And this obviously naturally follows from being spiritually asleep, because when you're spiritually asleep, eternity is not very real to you. When you're spiritually asleep, you're not really aware very much of heaven and hell. Of course, you still believe in these things, but there is no real conviction about these things. And so very little concern, very little prayer, heartfelt prayer for the lost, very little warning and admonition towards those who are lost. When somebody is spiritually asleep, also he is likely to be involved in sin, whether that's going to be sin towards other human beings or sin as regards his own walk with God. Passage, that reference we made to in Romans 13 is in the context where Paul is talking about the need to keep God's law. He says, Romans 13 verse 8, "Let owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, or any other commandment, are summed up with this one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And then he says, besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. If we are asleep spiritually, then we are going to be have a dull conscience. We're going to find it very, very easy to sin, to be sexually immoral, to be lustful, to be greedy, to tell lies, and do all those other things which we should not do. And this leads me to the next thing, which is that if we are spiritually asleep, then we become tolerant of sin in our lives. Paul talks in one of his letters to Timothy about those whose consciences have become seared as with a hot iron. When you are spiritually asleep, your conscience becomes dull. When you're spiritually alert, when you're alive, the tiniest sin makes you feel really guilty. Remember when David went out and he just snipped the corner of the robe of Saul? What have I done? I raised my hand against the Lord's anointed. Even this tiny little thing of just snipping off a bit of his robe, he felt more mortified. But when he wasn't walking with the Lord, he was able to commit adultery and have the husband of the woman he committed adultery with murdered, and he didn't even think anything about it. His conscience had become dull. He'd become sleepy. And this is what happens to us when we are spiritually asleep. Things that would have really troubled us when we were on fire for God, when we were awake, they slip under the radar, that we do not even notice that we were doing these wrong things. Now, another sign of being spiritually asleep is a loss of interest in the means of grace. Now, once this has started to happen, you're quite a long way down the line. But what happens is that slowly and imperceptibly, as someone starts to get sleepy spiritually, his interest in those things which will help him to be strong as a Christian becomes weaker. So maybe first of all, the midweek meeting attendance falls off. Then the Sunday evening meeting maybe, or maybe the Sunday morning meeting falls off. And then attendance at church services becomes once a fortnight, and then once a month, and then it falls away altogether. This sleep gets deeper and deeper and deeper as the person becomes more and more cold in his or her relationship with God. And the last thing I would mention under spiritual sleepiness, and this is when things have got really bad, is that the person who's fallen asleep spiritually starts to have serious doubts. Is the Bible really true? Is God really alive? Does God really love us? Did he really send his son Jesus to die on the cross for sinners? And this is when that sleep has gone a long, long way. You've started to enter into very, very deep sleep. And I've known people who I had reason to believe are converted get to the point where they're not even really sure that there is a God anymore. You say, that couldn't happen to me. Well, I've seen it happen myself in those who I was pretty sure were converted. really what we're talking about here is another term for backsliding. Falling asleep spiritually is what we sometimes call backsliding. Where you go from being a position where you're keen and a hot Christian, and little by little by little by little, almost imperceptibly, you come to the point where you're almost indistinguishable from a non-Christian. You're hardly attending church, you're hardly living as a Christian, you're maybe swearing like a trooper with your non-Christian friends and cracking dirty jokes, and you look just like a non-Christian. This is what could happen in a person's life. So the call, we're thinking this evening about this call of the Lord Jesus to this church in Sardis. He says, wake up. Revelation 3 verse 2. You have the reputation of being alive, he says, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. So, having tried to help us to see what would be signs of spiritual sleepiness, what can be done about it? If you think, yeah, you know, I've got to admit, some of those signs I can see in my life. Some of those things I can recognize that. What should you do? Now, of course, the first thing to do is to actually examine yourself to see if you are born again. It may be that you look at your life and you say, oh yeah, I'm backsliding. But actually the reality is that you've never been born again. That could be the case. It may not be that you've got spiritual life that's become dull, and that you are and is looking like you're almost on a life support machine. It may be that actually the reality is that you're dead. You've never been alive. You've never belonged to Christ. And it could be that maybe what's happened is that you made a profession of faith. You looked like you were a Christian. You persuaded other people you were a Christian, but in fact you weren't at all, and you were putting on the outward signs of being a Christian, but you were not at all. So if that's the case, well, go to the Lord. And it can be very, and go to the Lord for salvation. Say to the Lord, Lord, if I've never been saved, please will you save me? If I've never been born again, please today would you make me born again? It never does any harm to do that. If you are in any doubt and you think, well, I just don't know if I'm really saved, it won't do you any harm at all to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, if I've never been saved, please would you save me? That can't be a bad thing to do. So if you're not sure, go to the Lord and say to the Lord, I need to be saved. Please would you save me? And ask him to give you spiritual life. But maybe you might say, no, I'm quite sure I was converted. I'm quite sure I was saved. I'm quite sure that, and I can see the signs of the rebirth in my life, but I've got to admit that I'm somewhat sleepy as a Christian. What can you do? What can we do? Well, I mean, it's probably helpful to actually look at what Jesus says in that passage in Revelation 3. He says, wake up, Revelation 3, verse 2, and strengthen what remains and is about to die. Strengthen. Strengthen your spiritual life. How do you do that? Well, the first thing to do is to acknowledge your sin. He says there, doesn't he? Also, repent. Remember what you've received and heard. Keep it and repent. We need to face up. If if you or I, we've allowed a lack of love for God to start to come into our lives, that's sinful. That's wrong. A love of this world, that's sinful. And that's something we need to repent of. As long as we try to make out we're okay, as long as we try to make out we're decent people, decent Christians, we're never going to get anywhere. But if we confess our sins, that's the beginning. So 1 John 1 verse 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is the first thing to do is to repent and to admit that your life, that you have allowed yourself to get sleepy. Another thing Jesus says there is to remember the word we've heard before. Verse 3, remember then what you received and heard. Go back to that gospel. Go back to those words of salvation that you first heard when you first came to Christ. Remember those words that you heard. Remember those words that you believed. Remember the gospel. Go back to those basics. And then he says, as we've already pointed out, strengthen what remains. How do we do that? How do we strengthen our lives? Well, it may well be necessary to restart, to kickstart those disciplines which maybe once you've had in the past. Personal prayer. Personal Bible reading. These are these ABCs of the Christian life. But it's really important. Without that fundamental building block, you've got nothing. So set that time aside to read the Bible, to pray to the Lord on your own. Get down on your knees before God and ask him to give you spiritual life day by day. Seek his face and read his word. Another thing which is very, very important to do is that we do meet together and encourage each other, to strengthen each other that way. Now, of course, that's not a guarantee. You can be present at all the meetings and outwardly look like a strong Christian, as we've seen, and yet inwardly there is not much life there. But it's going to be very hard to maintain a strong Christian life if you're hardly meeting with the Lord's people. Hebrews 2:8, we are encouraged in Hebrews and in two places in Hebrews to encourage each other. Hebrews 3 verse 13, verse 12 reads from, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That says you need to encourage each other every day. You need to find some way of encouraging and being encouraged by another believer. Maybe it's you have a Christian friend you meet up with, or you do a Zoom call or a WhatsApp call or something, or you join the church's daily prayer time. But find some way each day of being encouraged. And then Hebrews 10 verse 25, verse 24, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, I do hope and pray that this message of exhortation will have been a help and encouragement to us.